Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. So often when we hear the words unintended consequence used in the same sentence with animal vaccinations, we think of something really terrible. Perhaps increased rates of cancer, or undermined immune responses, or some other negative side effect. But today I want to look at a different kind of consequence. A kind of consequence that often is overlooked in our problem-oriented approach to medicine in animals and humans. In spite of many studies that indicate that taking a multidisciplinary approach to problems yields the best results in the least amount of time, the One Health movement still remains bogged down. Because of this, when I saw a little blurb in a veterinary newsletter about an article published in the area of developmental economics, the title of the article intrigued me. Let me talk about the study itself and see if you can determine what the unintended consequence is going to be. In sub-Saharan Africa, there are approximately 50 million pastoralists. Pastoralists are what most of us in developed nations would consider subsistence farmers. They depend on their livestock for their livelihood and tend to live a day-to-day, hand-to-mouth existence. In sub-Saharan Africa, a disease called East Coast Fever has a mortality rate in young calves of about 40%. That's a devastating loss to these people. So on the one hand, you have people who are losing 40% of their future. On the other hand, you have a vaccine that costs money. The pastoralists need to look at the cost of the vaccine versus any benefits. Interestingly, those who decide to vaccinate do it based on input from other pastoralists. They consider the recommendations and experience of those who are in the same position they are as carrying more weight than those who might want or not want to sell them the vaccine. So what are some of the benefits of vaccinating their calves, the pastoralists discovered? One, obviously, was that they didn't lose those calves. Because they didn't lose them, the productivity of their herds increased. That meant more income. They didn't need to spend as much money on antibiotics, nor did they have to use acaricides, toxic substances that kill the ticks that carry the disease. The decreased use in antibiotics decreased the probability of antibiotic resistance. It also meant that fewer antibiotic residues would be finding their way into the soil, into the water, and contributing to antibiotic resistance in that way too. Increased discretionary income was also a benefit of the vaccine. Now these pastoralists have more household income. What are they going to do with it? It went into three areas: increased food for their families, better health care. Healthcare is expensive no matter where you go and where you live, and also education. Here's where the unintended consequence came in. They used the extra income to educate their girls, specifically more secondary education for their daughters. Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that vaccinating for a disease with a mortality rate of 40% in calves would have meant increased education for girls? We never would have known that. We never would have known that had not these economists chosen to take a broader view. It makes me wonder what other connections we've missed. But here we have these pastoralists basically living what we would call a subsistence life. Even at best, living in poverty that we can't begin to understand. And yet, when they vaccinate their calves, and when their herds become more productive, and after they deal with the basics of nutrition and health care for the family, they educate their girls. I personally think that's pretty darn cool.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.